Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony's our last hour. Let's go. And we actually roll all the way up to 10 o'clock tonight because the Brett Underwood show is on after I'm done. Big win for the Illini. You'll hear him talking about that coming up at 10 o'clock. Hey, if you're the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-591-6700, we will hook you up with a pair of tickets to see Impractical Jokers on August 10th at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. That's pretty cool. Got some plans for mid-August. Go enjoy yourself and hit the casino, hit the craps table, play them hard ways, see what happens. Glad you're hanging out with me for the last hour of the show. Hope that you got to wherever it is that you're going, or if not, it didn't take you that long, and we did our best to be company for you on the ride. So there's a couple other things that I want to get done before tonight's show is over, but I put this on the list of things I wanted to talk about because Tony Gill, who's in charge of our sound here on the show, was talking about this while I was doing some other stuff today. So that I can get this right, because, you know, I was only half listening, Tony. I'm sorry. You were talking about when you beat your dad at basketball, that you felt like you beat your dad at basketball at too early of an age, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So why does that bother you? What do you mean you was too early?
Well, because the instant cockiness that comes from that, it wasn't supposed to be that early where I gained that. I didn't have a full understanding of my basketball abilities yet and the limits of them. I thought I was going to the league. That was it. I was going pro for sure.
So was your dad, like, good at basketball?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking, well, yeah, like, I could probably have beaten my dad at basketball when I was 8, but he wasn't good at basketball.
Yeah.
It took me forever to beat him at chess, though. And I still only have 2 lifetime victories against my dad. And the last one is the last game we played, and I retired. I was like, that's that. So my mom pulled out the iPad, took a picture of the board, and I was like, I'm done. I'm going to take this 226 record against my dad and walk on as champion.
Yeah, we all have that time, like, with our, that we beat the person that we looked up to at something. Everybody has that.
Yeah.
And you remember exactly what happened. You remember the day, the time, the place, all of that.
But you also, all right, so the other part of this was you beat your cousin, right? Oh, was it a cousin or an uncle?
It was my cousin. So sweet.
How much older was your cousin than you?
He was 5 years older than me.
And how old were you when you played him?
I was like 14.
So he was talking mad junk, right?
Mad junk all the time.
Used to bully you.
Yep.
And then you took him out to the court and worked him over.
2 games in a row, I don't think he scored a basket.
Wow.
I that was the day I decided I was going to play professional basketball. That day, it was my cousin, my younger cousin's birthday party. All my family was there. Everybody was watching. You know, big hey man, big time players make big time plays. That was a hype game.
I'm impressed by you, Tony, because you have completely downplayed how good of a basketball player you were in high school.
Yeah, I don't really like talking about it.
Completely. And then you posted something on a Throwback Thursday where it was like all these clips of like Anthony Gill wins game for Revis. And, you know, I asked you one day, like, how much did you average? And you were like, I didn't score that much. I'm like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I only took the highlights of that year and then I posted it.
I know. So. But my point is that you don't like talking about your Uncle Rico days of playing ball, except for when you have leaned into this conversation about beating your cousin, though.
Oh, yeah, that was a defining time for me as an individual. Like, that set a – I had more confidence about myself after that day. It was a really growth for me as a person.
Okay. I like that you're kind of pounding your chest about it. Like, yeah, should have never challenged me.
Yeah, because I can always bring it up, no matter what. He can talk about me about anything if he's getting on my nerves. You remember that one time? You know, I beat you at basketball.
Oh, it was two times.
Yeah, two times that day.
Apparently.
And you wouldn't go sit in that chair and didn't talk to anybody the rest of the day? Yeah.
It's always great when you have someone who talks mad-ish and then you beat them.
So, it was so sweet. That birthday cake tasted better. That sleep was better that night. I slept with it.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. I would like to have a conversation because I think all of us have that moment. And now I'm guessing that there's a father out there who's had that moment in reverse now. Because look, I mean, I know who our audience is and we got some of the young bucks like Tony around here. But if you do have two stories, I'll take one. Like if whatever it is that you did to vanquish your demon, whatever that demon was. I'm here to hear your story about that. But I would also like to hear from the mom or the dad that used to be something and used to be somebody, and then their kid or their nephew or niece got them. See, I know better. I got a niece that's getting ready to play ball at Northern Illinois. I'm not going out there and playing one-on-one with her. She whooped my ass. I'm not doing that. I played with the real little ones. That's fine. But I know what I was like, and there was magic in taking on someone older and bigger than you and beating them. Like, that was fun for me. Like, my brother is significantly bigger than I am. And when I got to about 13 and I could beat him, like, that was a thing. And then he kind of stopped playing.
Yeah, that's the time where everybody stops playing.
Yeah, well, let's go. It wasn't his thing. But, I mean, I also have super fond memories. I don't even know if my brother remembers this. But when I was, like, 7 years old, we used to play football in, you know, St. Thaddeus Church over on 95th and Harvard. We play football before school every day. And so my brother's 5 years older than me, so he was in eighth grade, and I was in third grade. I think that's right. And so their whole thing was, I loved football. I would go out there and I would play and they would let me play. Like, think about the difference between a third grader and an eighth grader. And they would let me return the kickoff. And I remember one time my brother was like, no one's going to touch you. And he like plowed the road for me. I'll never forget that. And I was just running and I was gone. But I know it was because my brother was laying people out in front of me. And that was a fun moment. But you have those moments where you're like, you're feeling yourself and you need that confidence of taking on something bigger and then winning. So I thought that we could spend a little bit of time sharing some stories with each other about this. 312-644-6767. I'm going to give you your opportunity. You tell me the story about whomever it is that you beat and whatever it is you beat them. But I would like, for those of you who are parents, I would like the reverse of when you knew it was over, because your son or daughter or niece or nephew or grandchild took your ass out to the woodshed and was pumping up their chest like Tony was. And you can text in your thoughts on this, too, at 670-11. I used to love that. I used to love, like, playing, like, with the older kids and seeing where my game was at when it came to basketball. I still, like, you know, it'll be in the podcast tomorrow with me and Grody. But I am often easily baited into contest. Like, that competitive thing that's in me comes out in some sometimes horrifyingly scary ways. So even now, like, if you challenge me in things that I know that I'm good at, like, I don't scoff at the fact that I was actually pretty good at baseball. So, not good enough to make it, but good enough to get inquiries about making it at the pro level. I was talking with Alex Brown about this because his son's really good. Alex's son, Tony, is a really good player. And they were down there visiting Tennessee, which I'm sure just for Alex was the worst. All right, some of the people are starting to text in. 670-11. 331 Texas says, I just told my son there's no way in hell he would beat me in basketball or any other sports. He's 17 and I still give him the business. Sure you do. You liar. You know there's some young dads out there too. You know, the guy who was a dad when he was 19 and still out there trying to hustle. You know who was great? Jason's dad used to play pickup ball with us all the time, and he's pretty good. See where Jason, like, got his game from, too. You know?
Oh, and the best part, everybody has, like, that one uncle that's, like, super confident all mm-hmm. the time. It's like, all right, old man, let's go. Let's go. It's time to put that away.
Yeah, it's time for you to shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Oh, man, that happened to my uncle at a picnic. He wanted to play, and we were like, no, you kind of, I mean, he's, like, 45. He's like, no, I got this. I play all the time. I got this. And a kid that played football, he was really skilled at basketball too. Drove the lane. He flipped over twice. And my dad's like, come on, Junior. Sit down. Come on, sit down.
It was cartoonish.
Cartoonish.
Oh, that's so great.
He's like, yeah, I'm.
And so awful.
Where my glasses? Where my glasses?
Yeah, where my glasses at? I got to go sit down. Out to Orland and Ray. Hey, Ray, you're on the score.
Good evening, Lawrence. I'm going to start you off on a very embarrassing note. First of all, I'd like to preface, I know who I am. I'm happy with myself. I was a scholarship water boy. That's the level of nerd that I'm at in terms of athletic ineptitude. The last time I took my daughter bowling, who's only 5, she beat me with the bumpers up.
No.
Yes, it was awful.
What was the final score?
It was like, I didn't even crack 100, Lawrence. It was like 93, like 116. I couldn't even come back in the 10th frame. I was so embarrassed.
Shout out to your daughter.
Yeah, she's just chucking the ball. She actually had a strike at 5, and she had a couple spare pickups, and I don't know. I just couldn't do it. So my ineptitude just shined through like no other.
When she got the strike, did you just go, what? Or was it
happy for her, but I started seeing the score, and I was like, oh, boy, I better pick this up a little bit, and I didn't.
Well, I was wondering, Ray, was the strike or the spare the thing that got to you?
Probably the spare, because she's just literally, like, just playing bumper cars with the ball and just watching it roll and just hitting things, like, nonsense lucky. And I'm trying to, like, measure the lines and throw with a little bit of a hook and turn my wrist. It just was a disaster.
Did she understand that she beat you?
Yes.
How did she celebrate?
Very happy about it.
Yes. Yes.
She just said, I win. And so she was happy.
That's great, Ray. I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to tell us that story. I also love the idea of a 5-year-old in a bowling alley screaming, I win. And pointing at their dad. I'm just putting the L up, you big loser. 5 years old, I'm beating your ass at bowling. 312-644-6767. Out to Glenview and Tony. Hey, Tony, you're on the score.
Hey, how are you this evening?
I'm doing really well. What's on your mind, Tony?
So, you know what? I was listening to Tony talk about beating up on his cousin and his dad, but you know, I will say, first off, that I've got a twin brother, and our kids have never beat us in basketball. We were always, like, the best ballers in the neighborhood that we grew up in. And the reason for that is one man, his name was Archie Jones, God rest his soul. And Archie was a teacher. He spent all his time after hours in the neighborhood teaching kids how to play basketball, running leagues. And he had gone to high school with Daryl Stanley. And so every Saturday morning after league play, he had all of these older guys come to the gym. and he forced my brother and I to play ball against these guys. And it was a slap fest, a scratch fest, pushing us, shoving us, knocking us to the ground, beating us up literally. And that happened for about a year and a half. And then we got a little taller, and I'll never forget the day, the Saturday we played, and I fouled the guy, and I had him jump up and call foul on me, and it was like my proudest moment of my life at that time, that I had all of a sudden been able to return the favor of getting beat up when I was playing ball.
Oh, you got a little physical with him, huh, Tony?
You know, sometimes you got to.
These are facts. Sometimes, every now and again, a hard foul is warranted. Sometimes you just got to let people know you're there. Because they step out of line and then, like, that's my whole thing. I have two ways that I can play. We can play where everyone's just having fun. That would be the way I would prefer to play. Tony, when we went over to play at Bulls, I wasn't trying to do anything big. I just wanted to get a run in. That's the level that I would prefer to play at all the time at this point in my life. But I also know that there is the what I would call all Madden level that we can get to if that's your preference.
Yeah, if you want the smoke, I'm here for it.
Right. If you would prefer that we play on all Madden, okay. Just let me know. Let me know so I know exactly how hard I can go in a game.
And there's always that one guy, you know, at every other game. You're just showing up at a pickup game. Your friend invited you.
Yeah.
And then there's this one guy.
You're just trying to get a run in. Like, you just want to hang out with your boys and take a couple shots. Or even, like, softball. Like, Herbie knows because Herbie was my teammate on the Score softball. I always enjoy seeing, like, because we had a radio league. So we play other radio stations, and I have friends at other stations. And I like competing. Some of them I actually went to college with. And I like competing. And then there would be the jerk. There would be the guy, and usually he was on our team and his name was Ryan Sudol. There would be the guy that just has to, like, kick it up. DeCastro was one of them dudes.
He seems like one of those dudes.
When he was at GN, he was one of them dudes. And I was like, oh, okay, old man. Let's play then. Let's play for real now. Now I worry about hitting the ball to right field instead of just going up there and taking a hack. We'll just play Pepper with your right fielder for the rest of the game. How about that? Herbie, do you remember when Sudol did the whole thing where he, like, hit the ball in the infield and ran around the bases like a child?
Yes. Every game.
I was so mad. Like, what a jerk. I mean, I love Ryan Sudol, and he's done very well for himself. I'm very proud of him and happy for him. But my goodness, Tony, this dude had on the back of his jersey. You remember, Herbie, what he had on the back of it?
Vroom, vroom, party starter?
That is correct. Oh, my goodness. So this is fun. I'm enjoying this. If you've got a good story, you can share it with us at 670-11. Or you can call us at 312-644-6767. I want to know about the demon or the dragon that you slayed, and if you have in fact been that dragon for someone else. If there is a teenager, or in the case of our first caller, a 5-year-old who has beat you in something, not because you let him. I have a niece, we played tic-tac-toe. I kept kicking her butt. And then eventually I was like, oh, let me move the X over here to see if you can figure out the pattern and win. And then she won. But initially, I just put them up on the refrigerator. I was like, I keep winning. And here's another one and another one. And I liked she got mad and got creative. And that's a good thing. So give us your stories. You can also text in 670-11. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. In the final hour of the show, we're having a little bit of fun. We're talking about slaying dragons athletically. I guess mentally, too, if you want to talk about, you know, maybe you had a big victory, like I was talking about with my dad, like I beat my dad in chess, and now I'm retired. By the way, I read, oh man, I can't believe I'm blanking on the name. I got to find this. I read an incredible piece in Sports Illustrated about the female chess champion of the United States during the 60s. I'll find the piece in a minute and I'll share it with you because it's really, really interesting. It's one of those nights where like I couldn't sleep. And basically when that happens, like I get fidgety like in the bed, and Panther's usually just like, just go away. Get out of here. So I got up and I read this piece in Sports Illustrated, and I was fascinated with it. I'll get it for you in a second so you can check it out too if you're someone who is into chess. 312-644-6767. Also, Tony has some thoughts about letting children win. That will not be the way that it happens in the Gill household when you have children.
Yeah, no, never. It doesn't happen in my current household. My dad never let me beat him.
So, like, nieces and nephews, like, you never give them the satisfaction of winning? Little cousins?
No, none of that. Nope.
No?
Got to earn it. If you put up a shot, that's getting rejected. Get out of here.
You're out there beating up kids.
Yes. All of it. Anything. You have to earn every win that you get and appreciate it once you get it.
Herbie, your thoughts on this?
I don't have any kids, but I have nieces and nephews, so I don't, like, give them victories, but I'm not playing all out. Like, we don't really play that many sports, except for we went to the K1 speed thing, and we went to the golf thing. What's that called? The golf range, where you get points. One's in Wooddale, one's in Naperville. Somebody will tweet it, but I killed them in that game. The K1 speed thing, I've already got a disadvantage. I'm 300 pounds, so the thing doesn't move as fast.
Sure.
But I was actually...
Wait, you got 300 pounds?
Well, I'm not anymore, but...
It's because you've been eating Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, and so, you know, I had the second highest speed, though, the laps. That's how they count it in that K1 speed thing.
Well, I mean, you know, Panther is like that, and that's what ended up happening. We were at a charity event for special education of Lake County, the CDAL, which I'm hosting that again with Spice Adams in March. And so I know that she's got a little bit of a lead foot. I know that she likes to drive. Like, her dad owns a towing company. So, I mean, she's been basically driving since she's like 10. So they had this thing for the Mario Andretti school. And we bid a significant amount of money on it because I knew that she would enjoy it. And she showed up there out to Joliet to the Andretti school. And there was a bunch of dudes like wondering why there were women that were out there. And that's all she needed. And she ended up posting the highest miles per hour of anyone in the class that day.
It was Topgolf too.
Yeah. Julie keeps saying that we should all go play Topgolf. I would like that. I think that would be fun.
That would be L for all you guys.
Because you're going to win?
I'm pretty damn good.
Okay.
I just hit it as far as I can, and you get points back there, too.
Well, see, I feel like that's something where I wouldn't have to be super competitive. I could just have fun with it, unless you're in trash.
They got nice donut holes that you stuff with chocolate in them.
That sounds good. Sounds like a winning proposition to me. Let's go out to Grant Park and talk with Eric. Hey, Eric, you're on the score.
Hey, what's going on tonight, gentlemen?
Things are good. What's on your mind?
Hey, so it wasn't more of a, it wasn't really too much of a wonderful win for myself, but more of a demoralizing defeat for my cousin. Cocky little 18-year-old, thinking he's, you know, on top of his prime. I let him, you know, play a little ping pong. He comes up with this smash to beat me, him and his buddies. Oh, 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 old man, old man. I said, all right, let me put this beer down. Demoralize him, three straight whitewash games. I'm like, all right, you go in the back. I want an arm wrestle. He pops open a graduation card. I got $20. Let's go. Oh, you got money on the table? That's it. Bam. Done. He's defeated. He's like, all right, I'm not done. I'm done. I'm done. About an hour later, we're starting to play bags. Yeah, he gets a little more money out. Come on, let's play. I'm going to beat you in bags. And now I'm just, okay. A couple beers in. I'm feeling it. In the zone. Me and his dad wipe him and his buddy out in bags. A little later, here comes football game. Little friendly tackle family football game. he gets a couple good looks on me. He put me in the ground once or twice, and I said, all right, well, we got to take out the young kids. I purposely throw up a nice high interception, grin on his face. I see him going for it. I just break free, running as fast as I can, lower the shoulder, and just lay the boom at him.
It seems like you just spent a lot of time terrorizing this kid.
That was on his graduation night, too.
Yeah, that seems uncalled for.
Uncle just and stole his graduation money.
Well, I mean, if we talk about betting money now, you know my whole thing. If there's money on the table.
That dude did take it.
Hey, if you're trying to win this money, like if we playing spades for money and stuff, like, okay. Put you on a midnight train to Boston real quick. 630 Texas says, Lawrence, my daughter had a desire to play high school golf at a young age. She was able to make the varsity team as a freshman, but couldn't beat dad, who was average at best. She asked me to take her to play 9 holes on the course regional tournament where that was being held her junior year. She beat me for the first time by 6 strokes over 9 holes. What a springboard. She's a senior in college now, and I haven't beaten her since. Yeah, Vince, that's over. She beat you by 6 strokes on 9 holes? That's a old-fashioned country ass whooping is what that is.
And when that happens, the parents should be proud.
Very proud.
Like, my dad was, like, genuinely joyous because he probably thought I was going pro at that point.
Did you guys play again after that?
We did, and it did not end well for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point.
Yeah, at that point.
The genie's out the bottle, right. And he knows you're better than him. What was the highest points you scored in a game, Tony?
In high school?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 19. I think my final game, maybe. Yeah, I think my final game, I think I scored 19.
I think it's funny how you downplay how good of a player you were. Hersher and Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on the score.
Hey. I have a demoralizing victory for you, or a loss, I mean. When I was in college in the early 2000s, the girl I was dating, her younger brother was playing Pokemon Silver. And I used to play that, and I used to play Pokemon Red, and I was telling him. And he's like, oh, I got Pokemon Blue. You can bring that over. We can play. So it started off, I was trying to just let him win, but he was just beat me hard. And I was on my last one. I was really trying. And I was really embarrassed, and his older sister thought when I lost that, oh, you let my brother win. That's so sweet. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. That was the plan.
You used it to your advantage, Paul. That's the way you got to play that off. Just took that whooping. That's funny. He's just like, I thought I had it, and I didn't have it. I think he was speaking another language. You talk about Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon Red, Blue.
That's like Ruby, a game?
Silver, yeah.
It's not just cards?
Yeah, no. It's a game. It's a fun game, actually.
All right. Never played it. My 3-year-old daughter beat me in tic-tac-toe twice in a row.
Whoa.
3 years old. Beat me. I'm 32.
Whoa.
That's not good for you.
Whoa.
But it's also not a surprise. Have you seen those guys who play tic-tac-toe at the NBA games and stuff? It's almost like they don't know the rules. You see him like, oh, I'll make this layup. I'll put this X in. But if you'd put it over there, you'd have won. This is a one game where the two dudes, like, neither one of them won because they were stupid.
That happens a lot with professional athletes. They're so entrenched their entire lives in this one thing that, like, other stuff, they just don't know.
Basketball players don't know how to throw a baseball. Look at every basketball player you know who's thrown out a first pitch at a baseball game. It's been awful. And I guess there's an argument to be made that guys' hands are so big that they can't grip the ball the way that they want. I guess. But I've seen those same guys throw a basketball pass with one hand straight. And for some reason, they can't throw a baseball 60 feet.
I don't know if that transfers because most of the basketball players in my high school went to track after, not baseball. And baseball overlaps our basketball season, too.
I'm just saying, Herbie, that at no point did you ever pick up a mitt and throw a ball. At no point. Like, and I get, Tony, have you ever thrown a baseball?
Yes.
So if I put you on the mound at a White Sox game, it wouldn't be crazy for you to throw the ball to the catcher.
Yeah, no. No, I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand some of these dudes.
But, I mean, I'm also not an elite athlete. So, I mean, when you dedicate your brain, everything to this one thing, it's like you leave no room to learn even that.
Yeah, but – and that's one of the other things I learned during this seminar at Sox Fest is – when you talk to the professionals, they tell you that don't do that, to play other sports. You know what was great? Watching all the guys during Pro Bowl week for the skills challenge stuff and seeing, you know, Adam Thielen do really well in the precision throwing challenge until he had to do it in a game at the Pro Bowl. And then he threw a duck. And then you realize that there's a difference between even NFL players throwing a football and actual quarterbacks throwing a football. By the way, I don't know if you watched the Pro Bowl yesterday. And you probably didn't, and that's okay because no one should. But, hey, Jason Garrett, how about you not put the Bears quarterback in danger with your stupidity? Because I saw them put Mitch out there doing trick play stuff that was just unnecessary, and it ended up getting them blasted.
Third down and 2. Oh. Flea flicker, and Kamara put it a little too high. And, oh, by the way, Jamal Adams is here to play defense.
Jamal
Adams, what are you doing?
So Jamal has missed. He's missed 2 interceptions so far in the game. He said, you know what? If I get an opportunity to make a splash play, he comes in full speed. Trubisky's like, hey, man, it's a Pro Bowl.
You know what the best
Not
part about
Jamal
this.
Adams that isn't Book?
No, it wasn't. He was the defensive MVP with a sack and an interception. I think he had the interception on Trubisky, too. Hey, Jason Garrett, that's enough. That is enough. Just because your quarterback is replaceable doesn't mean that the Bears' ones is. Uber! Let's go out to Lyle and talk with Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I was just calling in because I got a similar situation. My nephew, we have a fantasy football league with the family. And 3 years ago, we started up, and my nephew begged to be in it. He's 7 at the time. He's 9 now. All adults. First 2 years, I win the trophy, feeling pretty super about myself, going for a three-peat this prior year. And I, like, off-season, this kid must have been, like, I don't know, researching all the draft mags, like, little football savant. And sure enough, championship game, he dethrones me. And it was pretty demoralizing, pretty sad. And I definitely pulled a Tony Gill and made sure I was going to put the beat down on. Everyone else was telling me, my fiance was telling me, oh, go easy on him. He's going to cry if he loses. No, no, no.
He's got to earn it. Your phone's breaking up. This texter says, have you ever thrown a tennis ball or a small ball and noticed it's harder to control than a baseball because your hand was too big? Same thing. I guarantee you I could throw a tennis ball straight. I guarantee you that I could throw a Super Bowl straight. That it wouldn't veer off.
I mean, that's how you play Piggy.
Well, all of us who play Piggy back in the day, Piggy won. I always wanted to catch because, you know, someone's going to miss.
I had to stop playing Piggy.
Why?
At a family reunion, I got hit. I don't know if you can see it. I have a scar on my eye. I got hit in the eye with the bat playing Piggy.
Were you cheating up on someone?
No. He was just, we were waiting to hit, and he just swung the bat behind him. Like, he wasn't even at bat. Well, we were waiting to get to the bat.
What game were you playing where you were waiting for, you weren't playing Piggy?
Well, we're taking turns at that point. Everybody had to go, so we're trying to speed this up. So, yeah, he hit me in the eye with the ball, with the bat.
Maybe if you had been playing by the proper rules of Piggy, you wouldn't got hit in the head.
And then a couple more years after that, I was standing kind of close to the pitcher, just straight chest bomb.
Yeah.
Oof. I'm done.
You cheated up on somebody, and they saw you, and they were like, you know what? Make sure Tony never cheats up on me ever again.
And I never played again.
Mission accomplished. Back after this on The Score. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. That's right. Coach Collins and the Cats are back at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State by now, NUSports.com. This hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. We've been having a lot of fun in the final hour of the show. We've been talking a little bit about games between you and a family member or a friend or a mentor, and you taking them out to the woodshed occasionally. And we're also talking about the dads, and we haven't had any moms call in yet, which I think is interesting. Is that a thing with moms? Do moms let the kids win more than dads? On the face of it, you would think, yes, that is the case.
I think there's some competitive moms out there.
No, I know. I know. I'll tell you this. The scariest thing I ever saw in high school was the Powder Puff football game. You want to talk about violence? Goodness gracious. Like, it wasn't one of those games where everyone shook hands afterwards. It was one of those games you got your hair pulled out. Bad. I know I'm not alone in that. I know there are a lot of young men who were out there watching a Powder Puff football game going, oh my God, this is a level of vicious I have never seen. Even in padded football games.
Because you can fight them in school. But you can, every year, people will get their teams together.
Yep. Those young ladies were waiting for an opportunity. I was terrified. Let's go out to Eason, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hello, Eason. You're on the score.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? Look, go Bears. I got a story where I beat my dad in a foot race. It was my golden birthday. I'm born on September 15th. I was turning 15, 1991, sophomore at Brother Rice High School. Woke up that Sunday, went to the park, Rosenblum Park on the south side, hit the boys up for 3 touchdowns, probably threw for like 400 yards or whatever. Came back, they sang happy birthday to me. Sun was going down. We went out to the alley. Every year, me and my pops, we do a foot race to see who, you know, see if I could beat him or whatever. It only took me 15 years, but we started running. We started the race. It was like a 100-yard dash or whatever. He stayed with me for like, you know, 3/4 of the race, but then I had to hit him with that snaggle puss. Exit, stage left. It just took off on me.
That's an old reference, but it's appreciated. Oh, man, that's good. I used to be able to run fast. I can't, run fast anymore. I can. Me and Deion Miller, she'll be on House of L next week. We had a conversation about that. Because Deion was doing them 50-mile weeks. I've decided to stop running. I think I'm out. Maybe one race a year. But the problem is that if you're going to run a race, you need to train. And you train by running. But I think I'm out on being a runner. But she was talking about 50 miles a week. And I used to do like 26 miles a week running. My body is like, that's enough. That is enough of that.
I forgot. You were talking about mothers and if they're competitive or not.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I think it was last year, it was my mom's boyfriend and then her and her friend playing spades. So I'm with my mom's boyfriend.
Oh, see, I see. Yeah, when it comes to card games, whether we're talking about spades or or Uno.
Yeah.
Yes, that's when at least black moms, I don't know how this is with white moms, but black moms and aunties will cut your throat.
Yeah. And she plays a weird way where, you know, you can cut before you can lead out with a spade before you can cut. I was like, that ain't the way I play it. And then I was like, we can play your rules. And we played her rules, and I still smashed her. I killed her. Me and Robert, man, no talking across the board. And I was talking a lot of smack.
Because
that was the first time I really beat my mom in spades. It was good.
I love it.
We haven't played since. I think she was kind of...
She was shook?
Yeah, she was like, my son? All that trash talking? I mean, but spades, that brings it out in all of us, doesn't it?
It really does. I am a much different person playing spades.
No Boston running? I haven't run one Boston yet. Couple Hartfords.
I will run some Providences.
Yeah. Still looking for my first Boston.
Hey, I've been known to make miracles happen. Bolingbrook and Dave. Hey, Dave, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. How you doing? Enjoying the show. I enjoy your takes. You make me do a little thinking.
Oh, good. That's what we're here to do. What's on your mind tonight?
I was just going to tell you, I have two boys, one in college and one playing high school basketball now. When they got bigger than me, that was a big thing. You know, they'd walk up past dad with their chin up in the air. You know, they thought that was great. But, you know, I realized like, we'd be shooting around. We had a hoop out in the yard, you know. I was like, oh, man, these guys are going to trash me. And they'd be saying, Dad, let's play one-on-one. I sort of avoided it. I was like, let's play horse or shoot around or whatever, you know. I knew they were going to beat my ass, so I was like, I sort of avoided it.
Yeah, I'll play horse with you at this point. I'm not playing one-on-one with you. But I'm not going to play one-on-one with Tony. That's a recipe for me to get hurt. I'm not even that worried about losing. I'm worried about getting hurt. And of course, that's the funny thing. I told Tony, like Tony and I played basketball with a bunch of media people at the Bulls. And I said to Tony, you know, Tony, don't go too hard in this game because, you know, you're going to get hurt. And then, of course, Tony's like, but you're old man. Of course you're going to get hurt. I'm not going to get hurt because I'm young. And then what happened, Tony?
Oh, I got hurt. Yeah, that was probably the longest time it took me to get home ever. Like, I'm just limping.
You were still out there playing. And I'm like, why are you still playing?
Yeah, man, once I get out there, I'm a different person on a basketball court.
They weren't giving out any trophies.
I don't know, man. I'm a completely different person when I'm on a basketball court. I would do anything to win.
They weren't giving out trophies. We're playing for something, I understand that. And I get it. Like, Michael Reinsdorf was there. He was playing ball with us. No one was guarding him because he owns the building. But Tony's out there giving 100%. I'm like, no. About 70% is what you want to give in a situation like that.
Yeah, injured myself like three times on the same knee, and I just would not stop.
Not great when you don't have insurance.
Yeah, that too. So I had to slow that down.
McHenry and Jason. Hey, Jason, you're on the score.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm glad you guys brought it up about not letting the kids win, because that's how I play. I've always been a sore loser. I met my wife playing air hockey, and I didn't let her win, and she always brings it up. So my kids are the same way. So we play Mario Kart. I love Mario Kart with my kids. We can all play it as a family. And no matter what, I always win. And my wife gets upset with me. So then we switch it up, and we start playing Mortal Kombat. Well, then my daughter, who is now 10, finds that character that works for her, and every time I get stuck in the corner, I can't get out, and I lose. And it frustrates me, and I always lose. So now it's to the point now where the only way I can beat her is by not playing the game.
That's straight from the movie, War Games. The only way to win is to not play. How about a nice game of chess? This happened with Panther. Panther and I were playing Mortal Kombat DC. Because I was like, oh, a video game that actually has Green Lantern in it? Let's go. She pulled out Wonder Woman and just continued to kick the crap out of me. I was playing like my Mortal Kombat character is Sub-Zero. Like, I'm nice with Sub-Zero. And I mean, she's doing stuff. She doesn't even know what she's doing. Wonder Woman's like upside down, like spin kicking me. Like into oblivion. A lot of people saying that for the white moms, it's Euchre, Bridge, and Rummy, where you find out that your mom is a shark. This one person was like, you ever have your parent taunt you? For example, I'll lift your grounding if you win this game of Uno. I kind of like that. 219 Texas says, my wife's family used to have a Bags tournament every year. My wife's cousin, who's unfortunately a Patriots fan, loved to talk crap. The first year I made the championship, he beat me and talked crap all winter. The next year I just completely destroyed him. It was so bad that after the tournament, he wanted to play 20 a game, and I took $200 from him. I think he deserved it. Matt, you're the last call of the night. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, nothing much. What you got for us?
All right. So I this is back in our dating days. I've been with my wife for 10 years now. But the first year of dating, all I heard about was how great of a track star she was and how she was all state in high school, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't think she understood what 40 times were, and I'm not trying to toot my horn because I could probably run about a 5.4 now, but I ran a 4.5 40 in high school.
Oh, my God.
So, needless to say, she wanted to race, and after about a year of hearing about how great she was at track and show me her medals, I said, all right, that's fine. We, you know, we did some probably wink-wink massage bet or something, and I gave her a good 20 yards. Probably head start, and I think we did a 100-yard sprint. And I basically just passed her up at about the 40-yard mark, and now she just says, well, let's run a mile. Let's run a mile. I said, babe, I never ran past 100 yards. You can kill me in a mile, but she, to this day, she'll never she always just says, let's go run a mile.
Like, yeah, because she's right. This is what happened with Jason and Annette. Jason Goff raced our friend Annette, who was a track star in North Carolina. And I think they ran 100 yards, but she's used to running a 440. And I was like, Jason's going to win because he's got enough athletic, explosive burst that in 100 yards, he can outrun her. Anything longer than that, though, anything, and you're dead. It was kind of like Annette was furious after that. And there's also the thing of like, she's like form running, like perfect, like technique. And Jason just like a car on fire, like running down the track. Okay, so remember that story I was telling you about in Sports Illustrated? The name of it is More Than 5 Decades After Lisa Lane's Success, Equality Still Eludes Women in Chess. It's really good. I don't know if you like chess, but if you do, you should read it. Read up about Lisa Lane. She's a fascinating figure. Absolutely fascinating. Thanks for listening tonight. The next two nights, I'm off because the Bulls are out east. If they can get there. I don't know if they can. I am going to be on the Jam Wednesday morning, I think, on WCIU, the U. So that'll be fun. A new episode of House of L drops tomorrow morning with Mark Grody. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. I promise you. Thanks to Herbie and Tony for their hard work. The Brad Underwood Show is coming up next, and then Les Grobstein will be on after that. I'll see you Thursday here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.